Dave and Darren's top five things. The top five things that happened on our morning show. There are still people that aren't aware that we're back on FM radio.
It's true.
And I don't know how else to let people know. I feel like it's obnoxious if we go on our Facebook and say, hey, we're back on the FM radio, when we've been back on the FM radio now for 51 weeks. I guess.
What if we put some signs at the beach?
No, the beaches are closed. You know that. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren, and you're about to hear the Top 5 Things podcast, which is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
That's true. You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location. If you just go to the website, you can make that order through Leafly at the website. That's ntillinois.com.
Here we go with our first bit. Thing, if you'll have it.
I don't do bits.
These are things, not bits. Do the bird.
Do the bird.
Mime is money. Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Darren, it's time for another installment of Now We Got That to Worry About. And, I take no pleasure in these stories, but it's better that you hear it from me than from some punk out on the streets. Maple syrup, our nation's silent menace.
It's a lot of sugar.
Grass fire up in Minnesota. A woman was cooking maple syrup over a fire. She's been sighted after a nearby field and swamp caught fire.
You caught the swamp on fire?
Yes, make maple syrup. Next thing I know, the swamp was on fire.
It's so sticky.
Grass fire.
Grass fire that led to a swamp fire.
I've never heard that before in my life. You don't want the swamp catching on fire. The swamp gas. My God, gas. Someone called the 911 up there to say a pasture was on fire and moving towards nearby homes. Officials determined a 41-year-old homeowner had started a fire in a pit to cook maple syrup, but the wind caused the fire to escape, catching a nearby field and swamp on fire. The homeowner tried to put the fire out with a hose she had nearby, but could not contain it.
Quick, put it out before the swamp blows up. The swamp's gonna blow.
I'm just cooking some maple syrup. Next thing you know, it's a frantic dash to find the hose to put out the swamp fire.
If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened.
Homeowner has been cited for burning during a burning band. Stearns County, Minnesota, amongst dozens of counties up there in Minnesota that have burning restrictions. Amid the warmer-than-average temperatures and early snowmelt this spring, which have caused drought conditions over much of the land of 10,000 lakes. 10,000 lakes, and you're dealing with a drought. That's a neat trick if you can do it. And then there's this story of an explosion. This happened up in Canada.
In a swamp?
A maple syrup mishap likely caused the explosion at a lakefront home. The owners were protected from the explosion because they were on the lake side of their home watching the sunset together.
Isn't this nice? It's like a Cialis commercial.
Got the maple syrup cooking. We
got the maple syrup out.
Oh,
what was that?
Did you leave the maple syrup cooking? This happened on Thursday. Witnesses confirmed first responders raced to the scene of a reported explosion and subsequent fire with smoke. Police officers arrived in several vehicles and headed to the back of a deep lot on Lake Nipissing, armed with fire extinguishers. They were able to fight a structure fire at the home. That's quite a lot of damage a maple syrup fire. Damage is too extensive, they say, but no injuries were sustained by the two property owners who were home at the time of the incident. An early investigation points to a mishap on the porch involving a propane burner used for cooking sap for maple syrup.
Yeah, you don't want that exploding in your face. That stuff you can't get off.
If they would have been on the side of the house where the explosion happened, they could be dead from maple syrup exploding. Jeez Louise. On scene, it was discovered they were boiling sap on the porch, and that appears to be how the fire started. Either the sap overflowed or the hose let go on the propane tank. Homeowner was able to knock down the flames quite a bit with his own hose before fire crews took over. I bet that's a good look when the fire department shows up and you're just there with your hose. I think I got it.
I got my own fire hose, thank you.
You boys,
honey,
did.
put on some firehouse.
You boys did in a couple of minutes what would have taken this fire department hours.
Now, you're a bigger pancake family than I am.
Yeah, yeah, we're huge on pancakes at my house.
Do you guys warm up your syrup? Or does it come straight out? It just comes straight out of the...
Comes out of the whatever Aunt Jemima is called nowadays.
And is it in the refrigerator or no?
No, maple syrup?
I'm just asking.
It would get hard if you put it in the refrigerator, right?
I'm just asking.
No, maple syrup, you leave at room temperature.
Makes sense.
They're saying damage to this house because of this maple syrup explosion. They say it's in the neighborhood of $80,000 worth of damage.
I'd like to see you guys warm up that syrup next time and see if that doesn't take that to a new level.
Why? What would be the point of that?
You don't want warm syrup?
No, the pancakes are warm. The cold syrup provides a nice contrast, I find. I don't want warm maple syrup. That's something a crazy person wants.
I don't know
what
you're talking about. It's not crazy to want warm syrup.
How do you warm it up?
Well, I suppose you could just basically microwave it a little bit if you
want. In the plastic bottle?
Well, not in the plastic bottle. You'd have to put it in something.
So I'm going to...
In a small cup or something, and then warm it up and then pour it on your pancakes? Oh, it's delightful.
You're making something that doesn't need to be complicated, unnecessarily complicated.
When they bring you... I've
never been to a restaurant where the maple syrup is warm.
Should be.
They leave it on the table.
Warm this up for me.
That's not something people...
People want warm syrup.
Nobody does.
I'm not a crazy person.
No, the pancakes are warm. The second the syrup goes
They're
on the...
They're called hot cakes. Yes, I know.
Yes. The cakes are hot.
Yes.
It's not hot syrup.
Let me tell you this.
You're going to burn the top of your mouth.
Maple syrup, warm syrup is a thing.
Is that something people do?
Yes, it is.
Warm maple syrup.
It
sounds like a way to start a fire. Is what I'm. What I'm.
You're
going to
catch
you.
A swamp on fire.
Yeah, I don't want any of that. That sounds like a way to blow up the house. Okay, I tell you what we'll do. Why don't we go to WQAD News 8 and we'll get a decision here on the great maple syrup controversy. Hey, it's Dave and Darren. Good morning.
Uh-oh.
Angie Sharp,
quick question for you, and there's no wrong answers.
Oh, dearest, what?
All right, so you're having pancakes, right?
Okay,
You're having pancakes, delicious, great way to start the day. They're nutritious and they're good for you.
Would you or would you not prefer to have warm syrup?
Warm maple syrup, yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to just room temperature syrup.
Yes, I'd prefer to have warm.
Yeah, there you go. See.
Angie Sharp is...
That's the debate?
Yes, he's never even heard of warm syrup.
That sounds like...
Heard of it.
I guess I'm just not fancy like you two. You just keep your maple syrup at room temperature, and it's just fine. You don't need to warm up your maple syrup. Is that a step that you do, or is it something you would prefer?
Just prefer.
Okay. So it's a notion. It's not something that actually happens.
Well, I can't tell you the last time I had pancakes.
Hmm.
What about waffles?
I can't tell you the last time I had time to eat breakfast now that I'm a new mom.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That sounds classy, like warm syrup. Text on the text line here, and it's overwhelming people agreeing with Darren here. 309 area code says Darren's not crazy. 563 area code texting in, warm syrup is totally a thing. Another one from 563, it says warm syrup plus one. Here's a text from Mike who says you heat up the bottle in the microwave and an icon changes to let you know that it's warmed up. That's a thing?
What?
Yeah, no, that probably is a thing. Like you're like, I think I've seen that. Like, what is it? Is
like a Hungry
Jack. Yeah.
So I'm looking at a bottle of Hungry Jack that that Mike has texted us here. And there's like a picture of a microwave oven on the bottle. So then this bottle will change to let you know the syrup is warm.
Yep.
All right. Wow. We're doing pancakes for dinner at my house. I'm going to try this warm syrup and I'll report back tomorrow.
Number two.
As we start to go back to whatever normal is, we're going to have to relearn, I think, social interaction. I mean, I think it's going to be awkward at first, you know, like hanging out with people in person is going to be weird. And I imagine it's going to be difficult to navigate personal relationships. It's always complicated. And with that in mind, sometimes you wonder if you've treated someone poorly. Sometimes after an occasion to talk to somebody, you might have a moment of reflection where you think, wait a minute.
Boy, I should have said that.
Was that a jerk thing that I said? Was I a jerk? And there's a subreddit where people will ask that very question. They will present their stories and then have complete strangers decide if they were in the wrong or not. I have a couple of these stories I want to share with you, Darren, because, I think I trust your judgment. I know I trust your judgment.
Every man.
That's what you are. You're the every man. Rhonda's dad was right. Let's get started with this one. Am I the jerk for doing my girlfriend's laundry? We're both in our mid-20s.
Uh-huh.
We moved in together 4 weeks ago. I had a surprise day off while my girlfriend was at work, so I thought I'd catch up on some house chores, part of which was my laundry. When I got to the machine, I found the machine was full. She forgot to hang her stuff out last night and left it in the washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I took out her wet clothes and hung them out to dry.
Yeah.
Then I put my clothes in the machine and turned it on. 10 hours later, I folded all of her now dry clothes and put them on the bed and then hung my clothes out. When she got home, I told her clothes were folded on her on the bed.
Yeah.
She was not pleased by this, saying I'd violated her privacy by going through her clothes. And it was even a little creepy how I'd gone and touched her underwear. There were bras and underwear among her clothes. Now, such a thing had never crossed my mind as being weird or creepy. When I was growing up, I had sisters, and theirs and my mom's bras were in the laundry. I would just hang them up as normal, as they did the same for mine and my dad's stuff when it was in the machine.
Listen,
they're just bits of fabric.
Listen, sister, we just moved in together. I'm touching more than your underwear.
Seeing as how my girlfriend didn't see it that way, I told her I wouldn't do it again.
And get your clothes out of the washer.
But if that was the case, maybe she could make sure that the washing machine was empty as soon as the cycle was done, so it's not blocking my schedule.
You guys don't have a dryer?
That further exacerbated our fight, and now she says I'm trying to gaslight her by shifting the blame onto her.
Don't gaslight me, man.
You don't get to gaslight me!
Boy, I think it's time to...
Yeah, move out of that house.
You need to bail.
You got a girlfriend who wants to pick a fight because you did her laundry for her?
But you had to hang out her underwear?
Well, yeah.
There's no dryer? You need to find a place with a dryer, man.
I think a lot of times they like to just hang their underpants. I don't think they dry their underpants like we do, Darren.
Take the advice of Batman and Christian Bale, okay?
Yeah. What was Batman's advice?
Christian Bale.
Oh, Christian Bale. I get it. All right. How about this one? Am I a jerk for asking my friend who just won $4,000 on the lottery for $100 so I can pay a parking ticket? Basically, a week ago, my friend managed to win $4,000 from the lottery.
Uh-huh.
Which isn't the jackpot, obviously,
no.
But still, that's a great amount of money. He collected it today. Meanwhile, I have an outstanding parking ticket, which I literally cannot afford. Double digit in my bank account.
What?
And the worst part is that the fine doubles every week unpaid. I have been unable to pay it since I got the ticket last week. I just need $100 to cover it. My family and other friends are also broke, except for my lottery friend here who just got $4,000. I'm just asking for $100 of it, which is like 2.5%. I know he has other stuff to spend it on, but it's just 2.5% of his winnings. So I asked him, and he got mad and said no and said I'm being greedy. I told him I would do the same for him, which is completely true, because I know what it's like to be in bad financial situations.
Clearly you
but
do.
But he said no, and I'm taking advantage of him. This is literally the first time I've ever asked him for help. So I don't know what the issue is. I just need $100 to pay my ticket. So am I a jerk for asking?
No, you're not a jerk for asking, but if he says no, that's kind of the end of the story, isn't it?
But I need it.
But it's two and a half. Wait a minute.
Yeah, if you can do the math on what $100 is of $4,000, and you can figure out how to park in a place you're not supposed to park. Or not do
my
that.
My bank account, double digits.
I got the double digit, not to brag, but double digits in the old bank account right now. Not to brag.
Is that with or without the decimal point?
Well, rough. Then finally, there's this one. Am I a jerk for making a stupid bet with a friend? I have a friend who likes to run his mouth. Needs to be the best at everything. And he likes to try and make people wager with him. This past week...
What, you want to bet on it?
This past weekend, we were at a friend's house with around 10 people total, and he was bragging about his skills in beer pong. Well, he keeps trying to get people to wager, and I finally agree to play a game for 10 bucks, which I won.
Nice.
He then asks to double or nothing. I won again.
Nice.
Finally, I told him I was done after being up 80 bucks. As he handed me the money, he quietly asked me to play again because he really needed the money. Now, I know he doesn't earn a lot, so I know he really does need the money. So I told him I'd give it back to him and no one needs to know about it. He said, no, I need to win that money back in front of everyone.
Well, then that's not happening.
I told him that was stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it.
No, he just let you off the hook. You don't have to feel bad about it now.
He insisted and told me to just let him win so he could save face. I told him that we could both chug a beer and I'd let him beat me at that. He agreed. We grabbed the beers and got my other buddy to referee. Our buddy asked for the money to hold. I hand him $80, and my friend said, I'm out of cash. All my cash is right there. And the other buddy says, well, how are you going to double or nothing if you're tapped out?
Right.
I told him, you know what? I'll forfeit, and I'll just give him the money. That's what my friend refused and said, okay, if I lose, I have to do something crazy. I had a bit to drink, and without thinking, I blurted out, well, if you lose, you jump into the pool in your underwear. He laughed and said, if I lose, I'll jump into the pool completely naked. We picked up our beers, opened them, and started chugging on the count of three.
And he won.
He must have had a bad swallow because he spit his beer out, dropped the can, and started coughing.
This is the best story ever.
I lost my concentration paying attention to him. And by the time I realized it, I finished the beer that I wasn't supposed to finish. I grabbed the money and handed it to him, saying, look, you had a bad swallow. I'm not going to hold you to the bet. He threw the money to the ground angrily, started to untie his shoes, and told me not to talk to him. I told him to just forget it. But he said he had to follow through after I set the bet up like that. I told him, look, just stop trying to save face. Get dressed.
He wants to get
he
naked.
He insisted he had to honor the bet. He walked over to the pool and jumped in. I put all of the money in his pants pocket. It's days later, and he will not answer any of my texts and will not take any of my phone calls. I feel like I didn't have to throw that dare. But look, he took it to... I didn't have to throw that dare out there, but he took it to the next level. So am I the jerk here?
No. No, that's great. I'd go get that money, though. I wouldn't give him that money.
No.
That's your money.
I would just text him, you owe me 80 bucks.
Yeah. You got till the end of the week to get it to me. Or otherwise, it doubles.
I need to win in front of you. Just let me win in front of you.
You're out of your mind.
I got to save face.
You're out of your mind.
We need
it. Oh, that's my favorite story this year, I think.
For the whole year.
Yeah.
Number three.
Three.
YouTube can be helpful if you're doing projects around the house. I can't tell you how many times I'll get stuck on something. If I'm working on my car or doing some sort of home improvement, and I'll go to the YouTube, and they'll have someone that will, for the most part, explain what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
I've had many occasions where I'll just grab my phone, watch the YouTube, and then I'll have kind of a better understanding of things. So when you're doing home improvement or car work,
sure.
Not, though, the best idea to watch YouTube if you're trying to make your penis larger. I got a story here from France.
Why would you want to do that?
I guess some people would like extra girth.
I had a procedure. It was called a reduction.
A lot of people find it ironical that I'm a travel agent and I've never left Blaine. This story comes to us from France, where two drunk friends left with...
I know!
left with swollen penises after they injected each other with hemorrhoid cream.
Oh.
In the junk, because they thought it would make them, you know, girthier. The French men, both in their 30s, watched a YouTube tutorial that offers tips on how to make things bigger. The video told them to inject themselves with hemorrhoid cream to boost themselves down there. Instead of experimenting on themselves, they decided to inject each other.
Little seesaw action.
Doctors who treated these idiots, revealing that they suffered from progressive painful swelling of the penis during the night and had to both go to the hospital the next morning. Both men complained it hurt when the medics touched their penis to inspect the damage. Gruesome pictures published in a medical journal show the extent of the swelling.
You're darn right this hurts.
It's not great. They were afraid, the doctors were, that the cream was blocking lymph vessels in the penis, stopping the body from naturally clearing excess fluid and causing it to swell. They were both told to rest and given painkillers in the hope that the swelling would go
down
on its own.
Give it a rest, guys.
Dermatologists at Strasbourg University Hospital say they have no idea if these two will have permanent damage to their penises as a result of this drunken experiment, because they both never bothered to return for a checkup. Writing about the case in the journal Annales de Dermatologie et der Venérologie.
How do you say?
And we do subscribe. The team says here, self-injection into the penis is an old practice.
You know, wee.
It may be motivated by the desire to have a larger penis in order to increase self-esteem or to achieve enhanced sexual performance, or it may be part of chem sex practices, among other reasons.
Why don't you do what they do in this country and buy a big truck?
They warn that injecting your penis with stuff can lead to painful ulcers, erectile dysfunction, and gangrene. You don't want any
to
of that.
Say the least.
You don't want any of that. Oh, well, this is something that they say is becoming increasingly popular, and they are warning people against DIY plastic surgery.
Yeah, you don't
leave it to experts or risk permanent damage, they say. So these two didn't want to do it to themselves, but they did it to each other.
That doesn't make it any better.
Talk me out of it.
No.
No.
And we don't know how this turned out because we can't find him.
Oh, that's just grisly. Yeah, I guess. No, I'm not going for a checkup. A
regular gruesome twosome.
I'm guessing that everything's fine. Otherwise, you would have went for the follow-up, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or are you just...
I don't know.
This is why you can't have nice things, Pierre.
All you kids do is waller.
Four.
You've done other things other than being a radio host. I mean, I know for years, when we were in our exodus period from FM radio, you worked for the River Bandits. What are some other jobs you've had, apart from doing radio stuff?
What have I done?
I mean, you worked at the golf course when
the
you were a kid,
The very first
right?
job I had was working at the golf course.
When you were working at the golf course, did you ever have an opportunity to be a server, somebody who would bring food out to people, like when there were banquets or anything like that?
No, although I worked in the Snack Shack. That was like on the... That was after was it the third hole? It was between the third and fourth hole.
Snack Shack. Which course was this at?
This was Indian Bluff.
Indian Bluff, okay.
So one time, I didn't have authorization to do this, but I was 16 years old. Someone, the third hole out there is a par three.
Yeah.
Someone had a hole in one. Someone had a hole in one. They came by. I congratulated them. I gave them free stuff.
You made an executive decision.
I made an executive decision.
As a 16-year-old.
That you're going to get some free hot dogs. You know, a free cup of coffee if you'd like that. What would you like? Would you like a Snickers bar? Congratulations on your... I don't know if they told the people at the clubhouse when they got back there. Oh boy, I tell you what, that kid out there at the snack shack, he is. That was so nice of him to give us all that free stuff.
Committed theft is what you did.
We had one because it was me and like three other buddies that worked out there that particular summer. Summer of 1980. One of them just hid all the time. That was what he did. He would hide.
Well, golf course, there's plenty of places.
Yeah, there's plenty of places to hide. A lot of times he would hide down in the locker room.
Just go take a nap in a sand trap.
Just go hang out and not do anything.
Well, being a server, being somebody who brings food out, I mean, that's got to be a nerve-wracking job.
Yeah, I've never done that.
And to do it for banquets, events, like, you know, a wedding, that's an added level of pressure, I imagine.
Yeah.
This story is going viral. A woman who worked as a server at a wedding, sharing a moment where she thought that she'd ruined the couple's big day. Worked as a server in a banquet hall, but was very clumsy and would often drop stuff.
Well, that's not the job for you, then.
That's what I would say.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't do something else. Like, let's find something else for you to do.
Right. Go work at the Nerf factory. If you're a Butterfingers, I don't know that working in the service industry is for you. She says, it was the only wedding I ever served.
Oh, boy, this is getting worse and worse. I really didn't have a whole lot of practice at this. And the one time I went live, it went very poorly.
It was the only wedding I ever served, and I accidentally spilt an entire gravy boat onto the lap of the mother-in-law of the bride. And it was hot. And it
Wait
was
a minute,
everywhere.
the mother-in-law of the bride, isn't that the groom's mom? She was so confused.
Yeah, that would be the groom's mom.
That's the groom's
what?
Mom.
What? Is that how that works?
Oh, that's even worse.
It was hot, it was everywhere, and it didn't burn her, thank God. She had to go and get changed at home, so she actually had to drive and go get changed. Uh-huh. Luckily, they were all local.
Yeah.
She said she was beside herself in tears and worried that she'd ruin the wedding, but it turns out nothing could have been further from the truth.
Oh, yeah?
The bride, she says, came over to me, shook my hand, and thanked me.
I hate her.
Because here's the thing. The mother-in-law was wearing a white dress.
Uh-huh.
Ah. And the bride didn't love the fact that the mother-in-law is wearing white on her wedding day. So she had to go home and get out of the white dress.
Put on some sweatpants.
Put on something that wasn't white. So, yeah. Bride comes up.
Did they tip her? Did they tip her?
Huge tip.
Did they?
Huge tip. And she says every now and again she'll run into her in like, just, you know, in town.
Out and about.
Yeah. And they will, yeah, tipped her $75.
I tip her every time I see her. I always keep a 20 on me.
$75 for spilling that gravy in my new mother-in-law's lap because she shouldn't have been wearing white. Is that karma? And people are wondering now that this is going viral, did the bride pay her the $75 beforehand and then she dropped the gravy in the mother-in-law's lap? That's not what happened.
Would you do that for $75?
Hell yes, I'd do that for $75. I don't know you, lady. You shouldn't be wearing white to your new daughter-in-law's wedding. Hell yes, I'd pour it over her head.
What if you scald her crotch?
No, I'd make sure it wasn't like...
Too warm?
I wouldn't want to hurt anyone, obviously. I'm not a monster. But if I was working as a waiter and the bride was like, will you spill this gravy on my mother-in-law.
You really want me to?
I go, yeah. I don't even need a reason to do that.
I'll punch her in the face.
I'm going to make it look like an accident, too. I can be real bumbly when I need to be. I'm not going to punch her in the face, Darren. Punch her in the face. Now, come on. You take it too far, sir. I'm happy to ruin her dress, but I'm not a monster.
I'm going to stick my fist in this gravy boat,
yeah.
And my fist is going to have gravy all over it.
I'll take her by the back of the head and push her face down into the gravy and say, eat like the piggies eat. For an extra $25, I'll do that. But I'll make sure to get enough on her dress. She's got to change.
That's from Christmas Story?
That's right. I like The Wizard of Oz.
I like Star Wars.
It doesn't say Star Wars. The movie takes place in the 40s.
George Lucas was alive then. What if it was George Lucas? And George
it's
Lucas.
It's not. It's Gene Shepard.
Gene Shepard?
Yes.
You mean Alan Shepard?
No, Gene Shepard is who wrote A Christmas Story.
Oh, okay.
Diehard Sox fan, by the way.
Really?
Yes, from Northwest Indiana.
Boy, they're on a bit of a roll.
Who?
The White Sox.
They sure are. How about that no-hitter from Carlos Rodon?
Still only 500.
No, yeah, maybe that changes today.
What, you got a day game?
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
Nice. You going to watch that?
I think you know that I am, if everything goes according to my plan.
You
going
to watch that outside?
No, it's too cold for that.
Uh-huh.
Should I watch it outside?
Big bowl of chili.
Oh, quit talking about chili.
Croissant and a tuna melt.
Five.
Number five.
So I didn't see this coming. It'll be 4:20 on Tuesday. That'll be April 20th. For those of you that are, you know, hip to the trip.
Smoke weed every day.
Sure, that's fun. And legal in Illinois. Actor Jaleel White announcing that he is launching his own line of cannabis.
I knew it was going to be Urkel.
Did you really?
That was going to be my guess.
I should have let you guess.
Knew it.
I should have asked you to take a guess which beloved sitcom character. Urkel launching his own.
This day and age, reading the good news on the newspaper page, and love and tradition of the grand design. Some people say it's even harder to find.
Yeah, Urkel launching a new line of cannabis that will be available on 420 because, of course, it's purple. It's a new cannabis line called It's Purple. It's a partnership that actor Jaleel White, who was, again, Steve Urkel on Family Matters for all those years. The new cannabis line called It's Purple will feature variants of a popular cannabis strain, Purple Urkel.
Mm.
This will only be available in dispensary shelves in California to start. But the hope is that potentially they could grow to more marketplaces in the future. Jaleel White saying here, quote, "The thing that always stood out to me was there was no clear brand leader for Fire Purple Weed. It made no sense to me that no company of significance had claimed this lane. So why not me? What does that mean? Fire Purple Weed.
I don't know.
So how does this happen? How does Urkel, the actor who used to play Urkel, how does he launch his own line of weed? Well, he met the founder of 710 Labs, Brad Melschenker, on a flight. And it says here,
you know what we should do?
It says here the two of them connected over their passion for cannabis. Melschenker saying here in this release, 710 has never been a brand that pursued celebrity deals or endorsements, as our agenda has always been quality above all else.
Until that flight.
You got Urkel sitting next to you talking about weed. Holy, am I having a conversation with Urkel about purple weed?
At 30,000 feet?
Far out, man.
We're going to do this. We're totally going to do this.
Melschenker says here, we tend to let the product speak for itself, but over the years, Jaleel and I became friends and organically our conversations developed into a project. He was on a journey to find the real Purple Urkel from back in the early 2000s. No, wait, what? So Purple Urkel's been around for a while, I guess. Not only that, he wanted to find the most flavorful purple cultivars and had been collecting seeds with his friend Sean over the years just for this purpose. So Urkel is some sort of weed scientist on the side?
Along with his buddy Sean.
The cannabis strain Purple Urkel is an indica that has a sweet and skunky aroma with tropical undertones. Mm. When ready for harvest, its buds are generally a lighter green with various shades of purple covered in light orange hairs. Is it strong? Oh, you bet. Ranging from 18 to 21% THC content. Minimal CBD in this strain. It's all that THC.
Very psychoactive.
So someone must have had this strain called Purple Urkel, and he thought, man, I should be getting paid for
this.
Yeah,
come on.
And then he did some investigating and has been collecting seeds to collaborate.
Well, my buddy Sean keeps them for me.
So, yeah, I mean, he'll probably make a bazillion dollars off of this. Now, he won't be doing endorsements as Urkel, right? I mean, he's moved on from that character.
I don't know that he can.
Does
he own that character?
No.
No.
No, whoever owns Family Matters owns that.
You know what I think would be a good idea?
A reboot of Family Matters coming soon on Netflix?
No.
How is that not a thing?
Whenever you start doing some live comedy shows again,
yeah,
you should just basically do a show where it's just you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could have some backup singers if you want.
Okay.
And just do theme songs from the 80s and 90s. So it's not really so much comedy.
So just my one-man show where I just sing theme songs from every TV show from the 70s, 80s, and early 90s?
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
I don't know who would want to see that, but I could do that. Sure.
Oh, this is a good one. He's got to do it. He's got to do it. He's totally going to do it.
So that would be the show.
He's totally doing Family Matters.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
I think that'd be... I'd come see that.
My one-man show where I just do TV theme songs?
Uh-huh.
Works for me. I didn't realize he was the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog in the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons, Jaleel White.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good work.
Mm-hmm.
You can be pretty high when you do that.
How?
I'm Sonic the Hedgehog.
How? I mean, can you imagine getting high with Urkel? That'd be pretty amazing.
Yes, I can.
I thought you were going to say we should do a show. There are places where comedy clubs in states where everything is legal, where you know marijuana is legal, and that's something that you can do
at the show.
Yeah,
that means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight. Woo!
I have read places where comics will do shows where they'll do the show first without any marijuana, and then they'll come back and they'll do the same set after smoking, and the audience is, you know, enjoying.
So you got to sit through it twice?
Yeah, but apparently it's funnier the second time. I don't know. I've heard that that's something that you can do. I've never been to a show like that. Nor would I go, because marijuana is still federally illegal, and officially my position is...
Everybody fly right. No, follow the rules.
Yeah, no, none of that for me. None of that for me. I get no kick from cocaine.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals.
Yeah.
One of them was a male, and the other two? What? Well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
Imagine you're on a plane, and you're in the row behind these guys, and you're like, is that Urkel? And then you're listening to Urkel and this marijuana baron come up with their plan to take over the world. That's pretty far out, man.
Hey, I want in on this, guys. I hear what you're talking about.
Hey, I want to invest in this.
I've got nothing to offer, but...
Are you telling me that Purple Urkel is something that you are first of all, aware of. Like, imagine if there was a marijuana strain called, like, Petra. Well, didn't that blow your mind?
Probably is.
You think there is?
Probably.
Hey, man, you want to smoke some Petra? What would the characteristics of your weed be, your marijuana?
Very tasty.
So it would have like a sweet thing going on, or
like a backwoods smoke,
like a mesquite.
Like,
I think that'd give you a headache, man.
This tastes like gasoline.
This just tastes like chopped up dandelions soaked in gasoline.
This is like smoking a shopping bag. Like smoking a cardboard box. This is awful.
So your strain would be...
Keep it all to myself.
Well, that's fantastic. The global cannabis industry, $31.4 billion this year.
$1 million is what we're talking about, friends.
Hey, man, I got some Petra in it. It's got notes of old gym shoe. I think you're really going to like it.
Aquanet.
Oh, no, my eyes are turning bloodshot. I'm going on a trip. I look like I'm doped out of my gourd. That's a side effect of the marijuana poisoning.
That's right, the poisoning.
Oh, man, I smoked some of that Petra.
Cool buzz.
Pretty sweet.
Tastes a little like that Hardy's Big Twin.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Thoroughly enjoyed every minute of that, and I hope you did too. Thanks so much for downloading, subscribing, liking, reviewing, and listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. You're only marvelous. Also want to thank Nature's Treatment of Illinois for making it possible.
You're an angel in disguise. Nature's Treatment has two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan's open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Now you can order medicinal items online through the Milan location. Just go do that through Leafly at the website, ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again. Hang loose, Kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
And that's how she wrote.